This is Believe in Buckeyes. This is your host, Bryant Brownie and Chimdi Chekwa. We have a great show lined up for you today. But first, we got to start off with our sponsor.
Yeah, so BetOnline. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from NFL playoffs to pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Yeah, so we got a good one today. We got word that, you know, one of our former, actually, before I even talk about that, one of our former coaches, you know, Jim Tressel, who was the president at Youngstown State University, where he also won four national championships, I believe, in the past. He is retiring officially.
Yeah, that's putting a bow on a fantastic career. Obviously, like you say, it'd be interesting to see because, like we know, Tressel is not known really for sitting around and not doing much. He's always busy. He's been like that way since as long as I've known him. So it'd be interesting to see how he handles retirement. Is this actually, you know, he just spend time with his loved ones and kind of kick back, or is it really retiring and then, you know, picking up a new career? So we'll see. Have to see. I feel like he'll be around Columbus more. And that's what so far I have been seeing him at events. Shout out to Coach Ted Ginn Sr., who won a Lifetime Achievement Award in Cleveland last week. And Coach Tressel was at that event. Him and Coach Ginn and Coach Tressel have been really good friends. They call each other the best friends for many years now. So, and basically, you see Tressel popping up events. So, you know, it's good to see him around Columbus a little bit more. You know, he's always a pleasure to see, a pleasure to speak with. So kudos to Coach Tressel. Congratulations on a fantastic career. And interested to see what he gets into next.
The reason I went to Ohio State, one of the primary reasons was because Coach Tressel.
Yeah, now that he retired, he got to do a show now, man. We got to get him to come on and do a show.
Definitely got to get him to come on and do a show.
Right. He can't say he's busy, right?
We got to get Tressel uncut, man. What is Tressel uncut?
I'm sure he got some bourbon or some cognac or something. Niggas, you know, to keep a cigar around, so maybe we get that flowing and have a good time.
no media trained Tressel, just, you know, get a little drink in his system. And telling it like it is, man. Yeah, shout out to Coach Tress. Talking about coaches, right? And talking about, you know, guys who, you know, we know who we've been in a locker room with. James Laurinaitis, the guy we both play with, is coming back to Ohio State to be a coach on the staff as a GA.
Yeah, because that's huge, though. That's huge. Like you say, James was a. He was a 2-year captain at Ohio State, when we was there. Because a lot of people figure after that third year he'd go on to the NFL, but he actually surprisingly stuck around for an extra year. And he, as a offensive lineman, so I played offensive line while he was on, obviously, one of the captains of the defense, a leader of the defense. I mean, he was just fantastic. Fantastic player, fantastic teammate. He went about doing things the right way. He was a joy to be around, you know, for a guy that, you know, hit that hard on the field. He always knew how to keep things light when need be. And this was just a fantastic teammate. So very excited to have him back with our defense, back to bringing in some of that silver bullet defense that we know he knows so well, and just kind of get back to that tradition of our linebackers is really being one of the top premier leaders of the team. Our linebackers used to historically be the leaders of the team. So just kind of bringing that back to Ohio State in that defensive room is huge. It's huge.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I remember James when he first started, when he really took off. Remember going into it, we were freshmen. James was a sophomore. the year before, Ohio State had three amazing linebackers, all guys who got drafted to go on and play in the NFL, A.J. Hawk, Bobby Carpenter, Schlegel. And James was a guy who played a little bit the year before and was going to go into being the leader of the defense, still young. And really, you know, as a coaching staff, you had to think defensively, at least at that time. The offense was very, very seasoned and had a lot of veterans. Defensively, you had a lot of young guys at corner, had a young guy starting at the linebacker position. He had Marcus Freeman, who was a coach at Notre Dame at the time. And he just took off from week one and on. I mean, I remember him catching picks, making plays. And he was an elite player from that start of the season to the end. And it was history after that. And it's just a memory of him just understanding the game, you know, understanding how to lead. And I think he brings that to the team as well. And, you know, when I think Ohio State linebacker, that's the guys I think about, you know, James Laurinaitis and the way they play. And you have to think, you know, in this NIL area, this era, this time where, you know, a player can just easily transfer and go from place to place, getting guys like a James Laurinaitis, having guys like Brian Hartline on the staff can be really, really effective for recruiting, for keeping players, for developing players. I'm getting guys who were in those guys' shoes at one point who went on to do great things and now get an opportunity to lead the young guys. And you have to think, it must have been a tough decision. What do you think? It must have been a tough decision to leave Notre Dame, who, you know, one of your close friends was the head coach over there.
Right, yeah. So when we was at school, I guess, I don't know how well this is known, but obviously when James went to go coach at first at Notre Dame, him and Marcus Freeman was like, I mean, tight. I mean, like best friends. Like, you know, they was, you know, giggle buddies, linebacker buddies. Yeah. They just kind of did everything together when they at the time at Ohio State. And I know they obviously kept that relationship strong the years following that, while James was obviously in the NFL and Freeman was kind of going up the ranks as a coach. So when Freeman got his job, it was, you know, it wasn't, I guess, the most surprising thing to see that James now was getting into coaching and going to Notre Dame to kind of start a system with his him running his program. So it had to be a tough decision to get him here. Obviously, once the Buckeye Nation felt like, okay, James want to coach, we need to get him back at Ohio State. Yep. You kind of start seeing that little kind of campaign going on. So obviously, positions opened up here for him, and we was able to get that done. So that, I think that's huge, because a lot of times now in this, like you say, in this NIL era, a big thing that college players are weighing essentially dollars against is what development, right? Where can they go and become a better player so everybody could get to that goal, that dream of going on to the NFL? So you start thinking about a guy like James Laurinaitis coming back and his work ethic. I say this story about when we was in school before us and after us, the linebackers' work ethic was just, it was untouched. No one on the team worked as hard as our linebackers. They used to do whatever the scheduled workout would be, wherever that workout was today, legs, arms, chest, whatever, they'd do that workout, great effort, go at it hard with the team. And then after that, the linebackers would get together and do a whole nother workout. When you start talking about, like you say, the James Laurinaitis's, before him, the A.J. Hawks, I'm sure they passed that down to Laurinaitis's, and the way that was passed down to our linebackers that we play with more often, when you're talking about Ross Holman, Brian Rowe, Spittler, workout warriors, right? Like they lived and breathed the workout, the weight room, and things of that nature. So, you know, he'll be able to come in and once again and be able to kind of share his knowledge on, like, hey, if you want to go to the next level, this is how you do it. This is what's expected for a Ohio State linebacker if you want to be a leader. And kind of get back to that once again, that silver bullet defense that we know has been lacking over the last couple of seasons, but we feel it's going in the right direction.
Yeah, we're seeing, you know, we just talked about Tressel retiring. We're seeing kind of his impact on college football, the guys who were under him. You see Coach Fickell, who's now at Wisconsin. And I'm not afraid of Wisconsin, but knowing Fick and what he's capable of, I'm expecting that program to continue to be on the up and up and them to be true a real challenge, a real competitor for years to come, as long as Fickell continues to be there. And then Notre Dame's not a Big Ten team, but we're definitely competing for the same recruits, you know, in the same area. And then another guy who played under Coach Tressel, played under Coach Fickell, is now leading the team. You see Hartline and what he's doing at Ohio State. And now James, now likely getting his opportunity. And when you look at, you know, Coach Knowles, who I think was doing the linebacker duties for the most part, getting a guy like James in there, and not only to help with the coaching aspect of it, but also the recruiting aspect, the development, you know, getting guys in the transfer portal to, you know, I mean, today's college football era is so much different in the way guys can leave and transfer, that who you bring in as from a coaching standpoint, you can't just weigh it based off of, are they a good coach? Like, I mean, it always was important for them to be good recruiters, but now it's even more important because when a coach leaves, players leave, right? And I talk about Marcus Freeman. I feel like, you know, when Brian Kelly went to LSU, Marcus Freeman wouldn't have got that position at Notre Dame, and he ended up leaving and going to Ohio State. I remember at the time, the defensive coordinator position was open. If he got an offer from Ohio State and went there, I mean, how many top players does he bring with him? You know, so the ability to bring in guys who have the type of cachet or have the type of, you know, kind of career and experience like a James Laurinaitis as a GA.
Yeah, the GA, you know, right. Man, like,
as the GA, man, I'm excited, you know, for this opportunity for him as well. But for Ohio State for sure.
Yeah. For sure. And overall, like you say, when it comes down to it, I mean, and let's just be frank, it just is what it is. When you start thinking about, you know, Coach Knowles and also our defensive line coach, Coach Johnson, I mean, let's be frank. I mean, they're getting older, right? Yeah. I mean, they're both are older gentlemen. And obviously, first off, they're really good at their job, because that's how you get to this level. They're elite at their job. But when it comes down to it, once again, recruiting is huge, right? You have to win with players. You have to be able to get guys in the building that kind of fit what you want to do as a coach. So you bring in a younger guy, once again, James Laurinaitis, who's, you know, was mid-30s as a GA position. And then also the defensive line. They brought in a GA for the defensive line as well. Once again, younger guy. Started his own business, teaching some D-line techniques, and now he's trying to get into the coaching ranks. So we got a guy like that who could come in. Once again, if you have your own business, I'm sure he's pretty social media savvy, let's put it like that. Yep. And so he'll be able to kind of come in and help in Coach Johnson and continue to get the guys. Coach Johnson wants to coach, as we know how you talk about development, you know, how he developed guys when you start talking about the Bosas and I'm blanking on names. The boy with the Commanders.
Chase Young
again. I mean, this is slew of guys across the NFL from Ohio State defensive line and the things that they could do. He developed them to the top tier. Sam Hubbard, right, another guy. Big ups to the coaching staff. I feel like, once again, huge step in bringing in James Laurinaitis to assist with the program, getting some younger legs in there to help out with recruiting. Overall, we feel like these are very good things to, you know, to help out the team, help out the defense, and continue, once again, to go in the right direction. But today, Jim, is actually, it's kind of funny how I remember, like, when we was in school and we're getting recruited. Today is actually the national letter of intent day for signing. So Ohio State class is now confirmed. The incoming freshman is now confirmed. All their LOIs are sent down. It's funny because now most guys in the recruiting class are already on campus.
Yeah, already on campus.
It's not a big thing anymore. But it is news. Obviously, it still happens, still take place. But I guess the big news, though, that we wanted to kind of get into is the transfer portal, right? We had a couple victories in the transfer portal. One coming in the offensive line position, Victor Cutler. He was playing his college ball at Louisiana Monroe. From what I understand, he's a pretty versatile player. Last year, played left tackle for for his team. But from reading some articles, look like he's trying to come in Ohio State and possibly compete for that center position. We know we lost both tackles in our center from last year's team, so spots are open. So it's good to hear that guy that's coming in that's versatile. Even if he's earning a certain spot, great. If not, we know he could do multiple things and just kind of help out with the depth of the offensive line as well. So huge win there. And then we also had a corner come in. What school was that? He was at.
Yeah, he came from Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Young guy out of Jersey. I think he was a freshman All-American last year at the cornerback position. A Nigerian. I see the name. Nigerian descent. I'm not sure if he's first generation. I'm assuming he's first generation Nigerian. His parents probably came here from there. Davidson Ibinusun, I think. That's how you say his last name. I'm Nigerian as well, but that doesn't mean I can pronounce every Nigerian last name, right?
But give you a pass, man.
You know, I watched his film. First, I watched his highlight tape, watched the stuff that was floating around social media. Aggressive corner, a guy that attacks the ball, makes plays at the point of attack, he's willing to stick his nose in there and go make a tackle. It's football, people. People assume that every corner should be willing to do something like that, given that it's football and tackles have already game. But being the smallest guy on the field, it's not always the thing that you always want to do. And he fights for the ball at the point of attack. I've talked about this a lot. I feel like not just at Ohio State, I think across college football, even in the NFL, guys don't give the level of effort at the point of attack because it's just not ingrained in them, I think. I don't think, I don't know. To me, it doesn't take talent to do it, right? It just takes like kind of a mentality, a mindset, and a focus. And I think he has that. He's not the perfect player. He was only a freshman last year. So sky's the limit for him. I'm excited to have another corner in a position. Well, I was concerned. Guys transferring this year, guys transferring out last year, guys transferring out, consistently every year. Missing some guys in recruiting as well. That cornerback position, which is a position where you have a lot of guys who also play special teams, punt, punt return, kickoff. It was getting kind of thin, at least for guys with experience. We have another guy with experience in the room, a guy who I think, based on what I'm watching, just based on little information, could potentially slide inside. I know. Jim Knowles likes the three safety. He goes with the three safeties on defense. I think there's opportunity to put another cornerback in the game on more, passing downs, third down situations. And a guy like him, I think, could fit. We saw Sean Wade a few years back. He started off playing inside. He had a lot of – actually played really good inside to the point where his NFL draft projections were high. And then when he slid to the outside, he didn't have that great of a year. But yeah, I think there's another guy who could potentially be in a position kind of like that.
A couple shows ago, literally the biggest concerns we had was our defensive backs, right? Our corners, specifically our cornerbacks, then also our offensive line, just due to that's the amount of guys. We lost three starters, both offensive tackles in the center as well, who's usually the vocal leader. As an offensive line. So, had concerns, and you see that obviously the staff was thinking the same, right? They'd seen some guys that was in the portal that was available that could kind of help out in those positions, and they was able to land a couple of them. So that's, that's cool though. That's just good coaching. That's just knowing your staff, not being bullheaded. You got to know the times we're in. We're in the transfer portal time. So if there's guys and talent available, hey, pick up the phone, do what it takes. At least had a conversation, and obviously was able to win a couple guys. So that's huge.
And I think, in this era, every school has to figure out their approach. Every era, every school has to have their approach. Like, right, when Tressel was here, he got the best guys out of Ohio, then he kind of filled in with guys out of the state. That was kind of his approach. For many years with Urban – and really, to recently, you just got the best guy. Ohio State just got the best guys everywhere, right? With NIL and transfer portal and new stuff. Like there's new tools that affect you. Right? You know, guys can transfer, but you can also get guys transferring in. And then there's money involved, right? So these guys who are transferring in, I mean, they're getting the. I have to imagine that a guy who was a freshman All-American at Ole Miss hops in the transfer portal because he sees an opportunity to get paid, right? Three-star guy coming out of college, go to the SEC, you do your thing, and you say, okay, I'm going to hop in this portal and somebody's going to pay me some money, right? But Ohio State has to figure out, you know, that approach. So far, I think it's been a solid approach. You know, they've had pretty good recruiting classes, and they've had specific needs. We talked to offensive linemen, get a guy out of the transfer portal. You had a need at long snapper. They got a long snapper, right? You know what I'm saying? Corner, we talked about the depth issues there. Get a guy out the transfer portal. Safety, which is a key part of the Jim Knowles defense, playing with three safeties. So he got a guy that he liked with, you know, guys like Ronnie Hickman moving on. I don't know if McAllister's coming back or not. I think he's moving on as well. I think he may have been a senior because I think he came from Oklahoma State. He was able to fill in there.
We got a veteran quarterback.
The quarterback one. He's a veteran quarterback. He's probably not gonna. He's obviously not part of that real quarterback battle. But think about it from his perspective. If I'm the quarterback transferring from Oregon State, I probably wasn't gonna start at Oregon State this year, right? Definitely wasn't gonna start at Oregon State this year. I go to Ohio State. And I kind of get my coaching career started. You know what I'm saying? I go to Ohio State. I help with the young guys a little bit, get development and coaching from great coaches, right? Get contacts and all that stuff. And I'm assuming now you may have.
You might want to be a doctor, man. You know, you know.
it's a great. If you think about it from a career standpoint, it's a great opportunity for him. But, I think Ohio State is doing a good job in navigating this whole thing so far. There's been talks about not having enough NIL. Alabama, though. What about Alabama blowing everybody out of the water, man?
So they came out with, obviously, so today, like I said, it's the official LOI, letter of intent day for guys playing college football. So they had the rankings, right? You know, every year it's the rankings with the ranks. Ohio State was ranked fifth. I believe we had like one five-star, 18 four-stars, and then a handful of three-stars, right, as well. And basically, like, you know, it's kind of – you could debate, but everyone that was on the list was kind of in that range. You know, maybe one five-star, two five-star, good amount of four-stars, you know, kind of so on from there. Alabama had 9 five-star players. I think 18 four-stars, then 3 stars as well. It was like – it was a lot of – first of all, it was more players than anybody else had on the list. Like, you know, Ohio State had like – most people had around 20. They had close to like 30 players commit, and then obviously a third of them was five-star players. So a lot of people was thinking maybe Georgia run the conference now. It's like almost like not so fast. In the SEC, Alabama is reloading.
I typically don't play too much into the five-star thing. And the reason I don't primarily is because I was a three-star guy, right? And I was like the 20-something ranked corner in the nation, but I was like the 13th or 14th in Florida for real. So but I remember all those guys in Florida, and I remember them not, you know, like half of them not even, you know, being able to get on the field. So I never – that were 4 or 5 stars. So I never played too much into the five-star thing. But 9 five-stars, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, at some point, like, then they got some good – you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just
– some of these guys going to pan out.
Right. There's going to be a good amount that pan out. And, like, you know, I thought Nick Saban – in this NIL era, obviously, I thought it's still Alabama. They're going to get good recruits and stuff. They're going to be top classes. But I thought it was going to be a little bit of a turning of the page just because, you know, we saw the reports of Texas A&M. You know, Texas A&M got the oil money out there. Yeah. They're paying guys big money at high recruiting classes the first year of NIL. And then, you know, Saban always he made like little comments in the media about stuff. He's like, oh, I'm thinking like, oh, this is a get off your lawn type of approach to NIL, and they're not. But Alabama seems like they are ahead of the game with the NIL just in general, for real.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've seen something recently that they are building a NIL facility, like a little facility. Now, like, I don't know what that's for. I don't get it. Like, you know, are they going to be in there shooting, like, Subway commercials or something like that? I think.
They don't have the Aflac Duck's going to have a desk. The Burger King King going to have a little
corner in there or something, man. Yes, I don't know. Dr. Pepper, I know, you know, they already got Dr. Pepper commercials, right? So, you know, they have, you know, the Dr. Pepper fountain in there flowing. But it'd be interesting to see what that is. But like I said, like you said, they're definitely ahead of the game. Like, you know, it opened up. I remember Urban making Nick Saban making those comments, and I guess it was heard, right? Like, people are donating and putting stuff together, and they're getting stuff done.
Yeah, they're definitely getting it done. Obviously, they also get a lot of transfers out. So if I look at all the top programs, Alabama might be up there in terms of guys who played there, or I'm talking about guys who got on the field. Now, they may not have been the starters or whatever, but they played and they leave. I think they had, like, their starting corner. He was starting for most of the year, and he left, and the other corner left. But I think there's a reason why they leave, too, now, because they know 9-5 stars coming in next year, and I never did. I need to get a play here, because Saban ain't messing around.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, it's interesting times there when it comes down to it. But, I mean, but before we ended our show, we have our segment here, and it's a segment that we titled Keeping Our Eye on the Team Up North. You know, they have a lot going on. And once again, obviously, that's the rival. Last couple of years, we haven't done too well. So we need to get back to the basics, get back to emphasizing and everything we do, keeping an eye on the Team Up North and not worried about them. But, you know, as any good plan of attack is, you have to know what the other side is doing, right? So we wanted to kind of speak real quickly about Devin, what's going up there? First of all, we have to kind of briefly, I'm not looking into it too much because it really don't concern us, but we have some scandal yeah. going on up north. They fired a coach, Matt Weiss, that had him listed as the co-offensive coordinator. Last two seasons, they beat us the last 2 years, and to be honest, they did pretty well on offense, so obviously he contributed to that. But it was a weird crime that they were investigating with him, computer access crimes. So I didn't even know what that meant. I looked it up, and when you look at computer access crimes, he was getting investigated by the university police. It had something to do with hacking. So y'all don't know if you know anything about hacking, Jim, but I don't know. It's weird.
The offensive coordinator for Michigan, I'm not even going to say, the offensive coordinator for that team up north was hacking. This is what I think I heard you say. Offensive coordinator for that team up north was hacking Ohio State's and getting the beat on our defensive play calls, our defensive game plan, and our approach, and somehow use that to have two great years against Ohio State's defense. I think that's what I heard.
I mean, he got fired. What they say, where there's smoke, is fire, right? And it's just weird, right? I mean, me personally, I never heard of a coach being investigated for anything of this sort. And to be honest, it haven't been really huge news. I mean, I don't know, because it's Michigan and they're not very relevant. I'm assuming that's it.
It's not news, and they're not explaining what it is. It's just like, oh, yeah, this guy got fired, computer access crimes. Nothing to see here. We're going to go ahead and move on.
It's very weird. It's very weird. I mean, you look at it and say no criminal charges was brought up against him. They fired him for cause. So basically, you know, it's a clause in most contracts. You know, if you're involved with anything, you know, we have the right to terminate you. So they use that clause to fire him. So, you know, whatever. It's weird, though. It's like you almost want to hear like a little bit more information about exactly what was going on. Like, you know, it's just a very weird thing. But that's Matt Weiss, and I'm sure he'll land on his feet somewhere. But Coach Harbaugh also looked like he had some investigations going back to 2020, the COVID year, and something he was doing a little bit wrong there. No surprise that a Michigan guy was cheating. But due to that, he would look like he lied to some of the NCAA investigations.
Yeah.
He may face some couple of game suspensions. And so I guess more to come from that. Like I say, not a ton of information on it. Don't really care. But, yeah. You know, like I say, just our segment, keeping an eye on Michigan. Michigan guys was cheating, and they got caught. It's suspected, and it happens. But, I mean, but what the big thing, though, I mean, we do have a topic here that we did want to dive into regarding Michigan. And if, once again, it's back around NIL. But after the season, it was reported that, well, obviously, several of the key guys came back, right? So they had a couple guys that you would think would be eligible to go on to the NFL. You think about Blake Corum, in my opinion, had a fantastic year. Should have been at least the Heisman finalist. Got injured and was not invited. But he had a fantastic year, just giving him his props. But they had four guys return. Blake Corum, they had two offensive linemen who both were Big Ten players, starters for good part of 2 years. They decided to come back for one more year. And then also a receiver who led them in receiving against Ohio State. Last name is Johnson. I'm blanking on his name here.
Is that the guy that went for the 70-yarder?
Yes, yeah, Cornelius Johnson. So, yeah, four catches, 160 yards against Ohio State, two touchdowns. I'm looking at his stats. He averaged 40 yards. It's like he averaged 40 yards a catch against Ohio State. But he decided he to come back another year as well. You think after a game like that, you might want to go on. But essentially, so it started to get rumored. Well, not rumored. It's a fact that essentially Michigan came up with a campaign, put around NIL, and said, we want to campaign to bring our guys back for another run in 2023, another run for a national championship. And that's what they called the fund. And they opened it up within a small amount of time. It was up to $100,000. $100,000 NIL money that essentially was being campaigned that we're going to take this money, give it directly to some of these juniors who are looking at going to the NFL and persuade them to come back to Michigan for one more year to make another run at it. And we just thought that was huge. Like, that's huge. Like, that's a really direct NIL to affecting your team. And it's not for recruiting. It's for keeping some guys around that we know could play and perform and get one more shot at it. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it was successful. You know, when you think about the guys at Michigan who would probably go on to play in the NFL and had to really make a decision. Now, I don't know all of the guys, but the guys you can actually keep in school, you got to think about it, are guys where the money in the NFL that first year is not crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's more than the NIL probably. But it's not CJ Stroud first round, you know, $27 million, $30 million signing bonus type money, right? At that point, it becomes like, okay, you know what I'm saying? This was cute, right? You guys raised $4 million. That's cute, but you know, this is an opportunity for me to change my family and my kids and their kids. So I think that's an effective way. You know, when I think about it though, you just made me think about like Michigan's. To me, Michigan's like kind of becoming the Butler. When you compare them to Ohio State, like the Butler basketball of college football. Like, and when I say that, it's not like a slight. You think about when Chris Holtman, who's Ohio State's basketball coach, was at Butler, and how much success he had at Butler. And when you watch like the tournaments, they'll play like a Kentucky type team or Kansas or whatever, and all the whole team would be full of like freshmen and sophomore, all top talent, right? But guys who are just really learning how to play like high level basketball. They've been dominant in high school and they're just starting to learn how to actually run real sets and stuff like that. Right. Well, Butler's team is full of seniors. You know what I'm saying? Like guys who were like 24 or 25 and red shirted 6 year seniors and stuff. And they playing against these kids. And it's not projection wise, the Kentucky team is better, Like, these guys are going to play in the NBA for years.
Right.
But at that point in time, like, this team, Butler has built this team that can compete with anybody in college football. Alabama, Ohio State, maybe Georgia and some Georgia and others are kind of like that, you know, Kentucky team where it's not that drastic, but it's like guys transferring, you guys transferring in, top talent, guys play for 2 years, I mean 3 years, and they go, or they rest your 1 year, play for 2 years, and they go, like C.J. Stroud. While Michigan's like putting up a fund together, keeping guys that could will consider the NFL and staying, and they continue to build this strong team where you have, like, when you look at the talent, you're like, dang, this Ohio State team has way more talent. But how long have they been playing together? Do they know the defense? Have they picked up Jim Knowles' defensive scheme? Are they, you know what I'm saying? Are they in sync, yeah, right? Do they, at this point...
How well they know football? Like, yeah. Let's frank. Yeah, how well do they know football? Yeah,
like you have
yeah.
guys who are projected to be great, and they are great talents, and they may be high picks, but is the team, you know what I'm saying? Is the team great? And I think what Michigan actually has been able to do is to continue to build on a good team. And when you look at, like, I talked about, like, Notre Dame recruiting, Ohio State recruiting. Notre Dame and Ohio State are getting better guys at the end of the day. And I won't speak too much about Notre Dame, but Ohio State's guys are like, you think about it. Devin Brown versus Kyle McCord. Whoever loses that battle, what's the chances that that second guy stays at Ohio State?
No, probably it, not.
He's right. gone, right?
He's gone.
He's gone. It's kind of a new dynamic where the elite, all this elite talent with a lot of moving parts, and these coaches have to figure out how to continuously make them a team. And I think Michigan's approach, although it may not be the same level of talent, the talent is good enough. And if they, you know, play really good as a team, they can be pretty much as good as anybody for real.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like you say, that does make a lot of sense. I mean, let's be frank. If you're, you know, let's say, you know, and a lot of guys went through 2020. So you got, like you said, a lot of guys are playing 6 years, 7 years of college football, and you're legit 22, 23.
Yeah.
And you're a five-star, athlete, but you're a true freshman, and you're 18, 19. When you get into certain situations, you know, you just know how to handle it better. And even no matter how talented you are, you know, if all I got to do is get my hat outside and get you inside, then I know we're going to get a lane there. We're going to get yards, right. Little stuff like that, you know, kind of starts to add up. So, you know, I feel like this is the best Michigan could do. And, you know, obviously yeah. they're doing it. And obviously, you know, they're having success. I mean, they went to, you know, two playoffs games in a row. Obviously, they lost those games, did not win the national championship, anything, or make it to the national championship game. But, I mean, they're in the conversation, right? If you're making the playoffs, especially on a consistent basis, you know, you have a chance to win a national championship. So that's their approach. So it takes Ohio State to kind of understand what they're going against, and, you know, switch up and do what it takes to get that win. I feel like, you know, 1 year we were essentially, be honest, they out-physical us. They were just more physical than us 1 year. The next year they come back, and mentally, you know, I think we was there physically, but mentally we wasn't there, and we ended up losing another game. So now I think, you know, now that Coach Day is moving on, he's getting older, he's getting more wise and things that he's doing. He would figure out, like, okay, I missed here, we lost. I missed here, we lost. Now, you know, now he's seen both ways. He had better kind of put it together, and obviously get the team, Ohio State, together to get things going in the right direction when it comes to the game, Ohio State versus Michigan. So, like I said, so I just wanted to kind of hit on that, speak on our segment of keeping our eye on the team up north, knowing what's going on there. So just wanted to speak on it. So Chim, I mean, I don't know, man. Like I say, it's the off season now. You got anything else in your mind you want to talk about, or you want to kick it the next show? Or what you thinking, man? We're gonna call it.
Yeah, let's call it. You know, I think we're on some good stuff. I'm interested in spring football coming up, but we have a lot of time to talk about what we expect. You know, from the quarterback position, some of the defense. And, you know, second year in a nose defense. Ryan Day and potentially giving up the play call. And I think he's going to test it out here this spring. So we got a lot of that stuff to talk about. I just want to reiterate our sponsor, BetOnline. And again, betonline.ag, where the game starts.